Rhett Bryan joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, game day host with Titans Radio Network. Rhett, good morning. Thanks for a couple minutes. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're doing right. You know, this LaFleur is drawing some interest. They're kind of late in the week, we learned that they added him to the interview list. You've had a chance to see him, cover him, and all that. Give us a little rundown on what you think would make him as a good head coach.
Well, I'll say this. He absolutely knocked the Titans' socks off when he came in to interview. Because here's what people don't realize. They interviewed four coaching candidates when the Titans were going through this a year ago. One of those was Steve Wilks, who didn't work out in a one-and-done year in Arizona. Mike Vrabel, who ended up being the eventual head coach. And they interviewed Matt LaFleur for the head coaching job. He eventually became the offensive coordinator in this deal for the Titans in 2018. A bright guy, really good with offensive schemes in terms of what he had to work with. When you think of, you know, his body of work with the Titans, you look at the numbers and you're like, okay, it's not that impressive. They're near the bottom of the league in passing and those kinds of things. But you had a quarterback in Marcus Mariota who's been dinged up all year, only 11 passing touchdowns. And with what he had to overcome, because the Titans played the longest regular season game in NFL history in week one in Miami due to two different lightning delays of over 2 hours apiece, 7 hours and 8 minutes. Well, we lost our best offensive player in tight end Delanie Walker in that game. And he lost Marcus Mariota, who had the ulnar nerve issues in his elbow and his neck is messed up and all these things. So no tight end in Delanie Walker. The guy that's supposed to replace him, Jonnu Smith, the second-year guy from FIU, was not ready, got him ready, lost him to season-ending injury. Right tackle Jack Conklin goes out. So anyway, he's had all these things, and he still had some really good games that he called offense for, in particular, in week two in Nashville, the Titans were playing the Houston Texans, and no Marcus Mariota, Blaine Gabbert is the backup. And what does he do? He shocks the world and brings out Derrick Henry in the dang Wildcat and runs Wildcat in a lot of it. And they just completely catch those guys off guard, and they send the Texans packing with a 3-point loss that day. You're going to go see what he can do. Look late in the season in November. In fact, I think it was on Veterans Day. The Titans absolutely blew the doors off the New England Patriots. Yes, that same New England Patriots team with Tom Brady and all those guys that won all the world championships over the years. I mean, they beat them unmercifully. Go look at what they did in offense that day. And like I said, there are lots of surprises you'll see from this guy. He's a bright guy, young guy. He's a Michigan guy. He's, you know, from up in not too far from where you guys are. But he made an impression on me, and he certainly had with the Titans. Because, like I said, he was a head coaching interview candidate for the Titans just a year ago.
So how did that play out? As we talked to Rhett Bryan here, how did that play out where he interviewed for the head coach job, but then he wound up playing second fiddle, if you look at it that way?
Well, I think this might be General Manager John Robinson's way of playing poker in this whole thing, because you bring him in to interview as a head coaching candidate, and maybe the whole time you're looking at him as an OC, and you figure out, yeah, that's the guy we want if we get Mike Vrabel. that's kind of the way we think it went down in the media, but you know, who knows. I'm not behind those walls all the time to know what's going on, but I suspect that's what probably really happened, is that they brought him in, you know, hey, we're going to bring you in as an interview, you know, for head coach, but we're really going to pick your brain about the offense. Yeah. Because they were moving away from Mike Mularkey and 3 yards in the cloud of dust and all those things with the old school running game type of Titans offense.
Talking with Rhett Bryan, game day host, Titans Radio Network, about Matt LaFleur, the candidate that the Packers will be interviewing on Sunday, Titans offensive coordinator. When you look at the Titans and you look at what Mike McCarthy was like, Mike McCarthy, one of the biggest criticisms for him, especially this year, was he had a couple of running backs but didn't know how to use them. He would do an Aaron Jones drive. He would do a Jamal Williams drive, and he never kind of mixed that up. The Titans, obviously, Derrick Henry was huge for the Titans late in the season, but did it take him a while to get going, or did it take LaFleur and Vrabel a while to feature him? How did it How did that play out?
Well, I think it was a combination of things, because if you go back and look at the early part of the Titans season, you know, they brought in Deion Lewis, another former Patriot, to kind of help things go along, because, you know, DeMarco Murray had left and he had retired. And so they needed a change of pace back in this deal while Henry was still kind of coming along. And it was a lot of Deion Lewis early on, and we thought he was actually going to be the feature back throughout the year, just because knowing what, you know, small scat backs do that can catch the ball well out of the backfield and those kinds of offenses. And as the year kind of clicked along a little further, you start to see Deion Lewis not have as many carries, not have as much success running the ball. And again, the offensive line had some issues. But, you know, I think Matt LaFleur was figuring out what was going on, and at the same time getting a Derrick Henry kind of jump-started in this thing. And the interesting thing about Derrick Henry is he had a conversation in the bye week after they played in London and lost by a point to the L.A. Chargers. He had a phone conversation with Eddie George, and he said, "What am I doing? What do I need to do?" Eddie George gave him some tough love, told him some things he probably didn't want to hear, that he didn't see Derrick running with a purpose and running angry and, you know, delivering the punishment instead of waiting to absorb the hit. And we saw a much different Derrick Henry, you know, who was yesterday named the AFC, you know, player of the month with, you know, 500-something yards, 8 touchdowns, and just absolutely tore it up. But LaFleur, I think, had some things to learn out of that, because he had two different styles of running back, one small guy that moves around well and then this big monster that's Henry. And, you know, you kind of saw things ebb and flow, and then it kind of worked out with it being Henry's deal at the end.
Seems like a very much a player's coach, a guy who could probably relate to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, he definitely gets along really well with his players from the interaction that I've seen. I stood in training camp and watched him teach all the quarterbacks the passing platform, because the Titans were kind of going from, you know, a run-first offense to more of a spread-it-out kind of thing. I can only imagine he'd be licking his chops wanting to work with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, good grief. Who in the world wouldn't want to work with that guy as good as he is? But, yeah, his players really like him and respect him. And, you know, got to realize, he's just 39 years old. It's not like he's father time. And, you know, you get some Aaron Rodgers isn't that much younger than Matt LaFleur in this case.
Yeah, I don't know how that will work. That'll be interesting. So we'll see. They interview him on Sunday. A name that has come up that you guys are familiar with in Tennessee, Mike Munchak, who's been with the Steelers for a few years, was a head coach in Tennessee for 3 years, kind of like an average 500 type realm. Does he deserve another shot, do you think, in the head coaching ranks?
Absolutely, he does. First of all, Mike Munchak's a fantastic person, and he's a pretty doggone good football coach. You look at what he's done with that offensive line in Pittsburgh. They've got their own issues, but I don't think he's one of them. Yeah, when you look at the end of his 3-year run, because he was the guy that was the successor of Jeff Fisher, who, you know, brought them here from Houston as the head coach and coached through, you know, some good and bad years for almost 17 years, I guess. And Munchak really kind of got the raw end of the deal in that, because he was going to have to, you know, they gave him the ultimatum of, you fire a couple of your assistants, which were some of his buddies, and he refused to do so, and they parted ways. And so he, you know, went to the off season, got hired as the O-line coach with the Steelers, and has done really well since then. And yeah, it does not surprise me at all that Mike Munchak is getting another shot to be a head coach. And it wouldn't surprise me if he got a job, and it wouldn't surprise me if he did well. The guy's a very smart football player and coach. And I certainly could see success from him.
Rhett Bryan, Titans Radio Network. Rhett, we appreciate the time. You have a good off season, unfortunately, and we'll talk to you again when the time is up, when the time is right.
All right. Yeah, no problem. Appreciate you having me on today, guys, and have a good one.